So, if we have faith, then believe. When once we have heard the promised word, and we believe, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word, the promise of God, then we believe. Now, if you have not got the Rhema word or the Spirit's witness to you, then possibly you have not understood at least three things or three conditions. So let's go to them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe you have not got a promise. Maybe you have not got the witness because you have not found out if this thing is the will of God. You cannot guess it. You cannot assume it. You cannot hope it. That's not faith, and therefore it is based on nothing. But notice, how will you know if it's the will of God for you or what you desire unless you study the principles of God's word and character and can rightly handle His word and receive the Spirit's witness? For the Spirit and the word agree. God is not going to answer a prayer that is contrary to His will and His character. So that nullifies many people's request. And again, what can we say? You know, you cannot get God to do something that is against His nature. And the only few times we find that God answered people's prayers that were wrong, it was used to punish them. So ultimately, it was not for their good or for their blessing. It was a judgment to them. And maybe, again, if you've not gotten the word or the assurance of the word, go back to Hebrews chapter 11 again. In verse 6, well, there it says, without faith it is possible to please Him. We cannot get answers if we don't have the faith. We cannot have the faith unless we hear the word of the Lord witnessed to us. Therefore, it says, he who comes to God must believe that He is, or we wouldn't waste our time praying to Him, and that He is a rewarder of them who seek Him, a serious seeker. So it cannot be something trifle or simple. You have to mean business with God. You have to be diligent. So some people say a little prayer and that's it, nothing happens. Well, it didn't work. Well, let me tell you, prayer does not work that way. There's much involved in prayer and getting answers. There's much opposition, we will see. There are much problems involved, and we need wisdom and guidance and reassuring and encouragement from the Holy Spirit at times to live out this discipline and this training of faith. So again, maybe you've not been serious enough. Maybe you've been too flippant in your requesting to find whether the thing is from God or not. Or go to James. Maybe you've been here. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask for the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. The next verse, he calls you, if you're doing this, an adulteress against the Lord, adulteress and adulteress against the Lord. You do not know that the friendship of the world is hostility with God. Once you proceed looking for worldly materialism and greed and pleasure seeking and so forth, you're already out of God's will. And the scripture says you make yourself His enemy. So how dare ask for something from God when you're not in right standing, and then to ask for something wicked, you add or compound sin upon sin. So God's will is not to answer coveting, selfish prayers, pleasure seeking, self-gratification. Again, the will of God must be involved in everything we ask. And see, the secret reveals people's hearts. The people say, well, then why should I pray about these things? Well, first you should get right with God, because it reveals by what you're seeking that obviously you don't know God very well, nor His character, and you're not interested in His will, for maybe you're not in Him. See, you know, sometimes we need to go back to Scripture and find out if we're in the Lord, really, if we're seeking His purposes. We are not our own. We're bought with a price, so everything in our life involves God. And we better involve him in these things. So these three things could keep you, if you do not understand them, from hearing the word and getting a word from God, from getting a promise, a prophecy, a word that he intends to answer and bears witness to it. See, there's where the faith comes. Faith comes from hearing from God. But if God is not talking to you and he's not revealing or answering, then check these three out and see whether that's why there's a blockage here. But if you have faith and you are believing to see what he's promised and you're in that state, then we're to continue. And so we can remind ourselves of other scriptures every now and then to encourage us and to check us. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. Notice he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." God initiates the calling for salvation and for ministries. "And I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that you'll bear forth the life of Christ, the will of Christ, the ministries of Christ, and that your fruit would remain." And notice the little "so" here, that if your fruit remains, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're following the Lord, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, the name of Jesus, he may give it to you. So notice it's the lifestyle of faithfulness and being led of the Lord that puts the person in a place where they can ask the Father in the name of Jesus with faith and believe he will answer us and he will give us the answer. So again, he links our life with the prayer of faith. So that nullifies many people. Positive thinking will do you no good. Claiming scripture, quoting scripture, using the name of Jesus will avail you nothing if you are not led of the Spirit and you're not desiring to do the Lord's will in your life. 1 John chapter 3. Been there many times. Go there many more times. I do. Chapter 3, verses 20 to 23. "And whatever our heart or our spirit or conscience condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our conscience," this is what it means, "does not judge us, tell us we're wrong, we have faith before God. We have assurance. We have confidence." This is what it means. So we must keep a clear conscience, and it gives faith and assurance that he will answer. It's easy. Faith comes easy, and maintaining the believing is easy if our heart is right with the Lord and stays right with the Lord. Therefore, we must keep short accounts if we fail or sin. We keep his word and his will. Notice what it says, "and do those things that please him." And verse 22, "and whatever we ask, we receive from him." He gives it because there's a reason for it. Because we keep his commandments. And our conscience tells us you're right with the Lord. You're obeying the Lord. You're doing what you can to serve the Lord and do what's right. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What's pleasing in his sight? To obey him when your conscience directs you. When the word of God tells you to do things and his principles of his word instructs us, then you fall in line with his word. Then you can be assured that he will hear and answer prayer and bring about what he has promised. Matthew 7. Another thing that is heavily involved, and we have to remind ourselves of this, and sometimes often, Matthew 7, 7 and 8, "Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And so again, what? We must persevere in prayer. We must persevere in believing. And why must we do this? Because we have a devil that opposes us, will try to rob us of God's word and promises, and he can do it if we allow him. For he comes to steal and rob and destroy. But the Lord comes to give us life, spiritual abundance, and to know his will and purposes, and to answer prayer. But the devil can, if he can get us to doubt, become double-minded, to disobedience and unbelief, then we can forfeit the promises of God. It means we're not continuing in the faith anymore. And also the natural appearances. As with Abraham, the 25 years or so went on, however many years it was, him and Sarah got older and older and older. And the time he received the promise of a child, he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, and it got more impossible from the natural. But again, when we receive the word of God, that will fight us as the natural, when the weeks and months and sometimes years goes by and there is no answer and it seems from the natural more impossible, then we hang on to God's word anyway. His word and promise is not dependent on the outward, what we see or perceive. It depends on what? His promise of what he said he will do. On God's word. Hebrews chapter 6, 10 and 12, referring to our final salvation, but the principle nevertheless stands. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your love which you have shown toward his name. This is doing the things that please him, obeying him, ministering in his name, giving up our life for the brethren. And having ministered and are still ministering to the saints, you're still doing your duties and job before the Lord. And we desire each one of you to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. The full assurance of faith and hope until you get the end results. So that you will not become lazy or sluggish or weak, but imitators of those, who are those? Abraham. Through faith and endurance, perseverance, they inherited the promises. So we keep on serving the Lord. We keep on doing our duties and what God requires of us. We keep on regardless of whether the answers come when or where we want them, or even at times if we feel like we've missed God and we fail, we don't throw off everything. That's the tendency sometimes, is to throw everything out. No, we just go back, but we continue to serve the Lord irregardless. As Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's our duty to serve the Lord. Whether we fully realize many of the answers to our prayers or not, or it's in God's timing, or we've missed, calculated, or we've failed, we just go on. That's the time to forget the things behind and go on and start afresh, but we still maintain our duty and our walk before the Lord, because it's our duty. We're called for this. We're called for this. Okay. Go back to Romans. Speaking again of Abraham, the father of faith. When you want to know about someone being faithful, this is the man to read by. The years of faith that tried him. And yet he was great in faith, but we're put on the same par as he is with the Spirit's help. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 18. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he became a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. But in hope against hope, he believed. Again, when he got older and Sarah got older, and yet they were still promised children, from the natural, it appeared hope was gone. It didn't make sense. But as the angel had said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is impossible with God. And so he held on. When the natural hope has died, he got hope and faith from God to strengthen him. See, then it shows us when sometimes our natural cannot go on anymore, and we have to not look at the natural. Faith looks at the unseen, not what it sees. Faith believes to see, but it believes and hopes regardless of what it sees, and allows the time and God to work out his plan. That's true trusting in the Lord. The first part of 19, he not only hoped against hope, but without becoming weak in faith. When he considered his body in his old age and how old Sarah was and past having children, again, he did not let it move him. Even though he looked at the natural and said, oh, from the natural, it looks more impossible. But it said he didn't. He hoped against hope. He went right back to God's word and said, it's your business, God. I'll live to be 200. If Sarah lives to be 200, your word said one day she's going to have a baby. So see, that's what he held to, not the natural. And so not becoming weak in faith or losing heart or giving up or fainting. 4:20 says, and with the respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. He did not let the devil. He did not let the natural circumstances and impossibilities move him, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he grew strong in faith and giving glory to God. And how did he grow strong in faith? What made him stay strong in faith? 21 answers it. He was fully, being fully assured. That's what true faith is. That's real faith. Being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. We can say what God had promised, he was able and is able and willing and determined to do it. And this is what Abraham saw. It did not matter how impossible it begot from the moment he was given the promise until it was passed any way natural of it being fulfilled. Then he began to see and grow strong and said, oh, it does not depend on the natural. You cannot look to people, their failure, the best of them. Many people give you their promise and their word and they will not keep it. Some are liars. Some people, they make promises they cannot keep. Their intentions are good, but they're presumptuous and they speak foolishly. So sometimes we cannot fully trust people. They're subject to failure. But the Lord's word, he is not subject to failure. It's only our inability to trust and believe him that will keep him from doing what he has said. So Abraham was fully persuaded. He didn't care how old his body got. He didn't care how old the womb of Sarah was. He kept saying, he grew strong in faith. God has kept his word. God has told me several times and reaffirmed and bore witness that this is his mind and his pleasure, that through me, many nations and spiritual beings are going to come into the body of Christ through this. And he held on to this, and God still had considered his name Abraham, change it from Abram to Abraham, a father of many nations. And God, it says in verse 17, called those things as are not as though they are. The 25 to 30 some years, he looked at Abraham, and God himself said, he is the father of many nations. I intend to bring this about, but I'm calling him a father now because it's sure with me. From my perspective, I've promised it, and Abraham had to believe it and did believe it, and he kept believing it, and he believed until he received the answer, Isaac the son. And so this is what we're to do, and to keep encouraging ourselves in the word of the Lord. 1 Kings, I like this scripture, I ponder it often. 1 Kings is after Samuel, the book of Samuels. 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 56. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he has promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. Not one word has failed of his promises. And God is determined with us that that shall remain true. His word does not fail. We can fail him, and then the word will not come to pass, because again, it's conditioned on us believing and trusting him to do what he says. And in closing in this area, Romans, when Abraham, Romans 15, when Abraham hoped against hope, when all the natural hope was about gone, and he could not muster up no more natural hope, he was strengthened in the Lord. And we can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit our faith can be strengthened. The word God gives us, he can reaffirm, he can bear witness, he can encourage us to go on. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope, notice he's called the God of hope. He gives hope through faith. Faith, the assurance that he will do what he has promised, so we can hope in God. He's the God of all hope. And he says, may he fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, if we hold on to this hope, the God of all hope gives us a hope, a sure hope, to believe he's going to do what he said he's going to do, then he can fill us with joy and peace in believing. We can have the joy and rejoice that, oh, he's going to do what he promised. I'm going to experience and have what he has promised. Ask that your joy shall be full. Okay, so that's what he said. But he says, may he fill you with all joy and peace. The peace, the assurance, the confidence that no matter what the storm says, that no matter what the natural impossibilities, no matter that I hope against hope, and everyone else and the devil and circumstances tell me it's wrong and it's not God and blah, 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 that I am going to be at peace. I'm at rest with God. I will not be disturbed. I will not be double-minded. I will not become irritated and peevish and angry and bitter. I will be at peace and rest, knowing that he becomes our rest, that we enter in to his peace and assurance that he's going to bring it about in his timing, in our believing, as we keep trusting him, as we remind him of his word, as we remind ourselves of his word, as we thank him for what he's doing and shall do, so that you will abound in hope. So see, the God of all hope will give you peace and joy. This is the witness of the Spirit, that this is God's word. He intends to carry through with it. That you will abound in hope. You will increase your hope. This is the hope against hope. He gives you a hope that goes beyond the natural realm and the natural conditions. It's from God. And how does he do this? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we pray. And that's why we pray when we're tempted and tested. And that's when we pray when we stumble and temporarily fall and we just get back up. Abraham did it. Remember? He listened to his wife's poor advice and she interpreted it because she wore out with God's promise. Well, perhaps I need to get him a handmaid and he can have a son that way. And we know the story there and all the troubles that followed since then. They listened to the natural and got an Ishmael, and they've been fighting with him ever since. But see, again, she thought she'd help God alone because he didn't answer the way she thought. But God's promise, and even Abraham was starting to question and said, let Ishmael stand before you. In other words, Abraham was saying, well, whatever you promised and whatever you did through this, let's do it through Ishmael now. That's sort of a little far-fetched or too hard for me. And God said, no. He said, I'll bless Ishmael, you know, if he serves me. But notice what he said. He said, but it's through Sarah you will have a son. So he threw it right back to Sarah. And we know Sarah had her doubts then and later, because even right before she was to conceive at her age of 90, she heard the Lord talking to Abraham and telling him that she was going to bear a son. And she laughed in the tent. It was a laugh almost of sarcasm and mockery. Now that I'm old, shall I have the pleasure of a child through my husband? And we don't think she believed very well then. And yet Abraham asked her, how come you laughed? And she denied it. See, she was afraid. She didn't know that the Lord had heard every word and read her mind and her thoughts. But she does come out laughing later. Remember, when she has the child, she names him Isaac, and she said, for the Lord hath caused me to laugh. Where she laughed in sarcasm and unbelief and wavering, now she laughs in rejoicing and encouragement. And actually, the book of Hebrews names her, calls Sarah of faith. that somewhere between here and the birth of the child, her conception, she began, like Abraham, to believe this is God, and threw aside her doubts and her unbelief and trusted. And then she could rejoice and say, oh, the Lord hath caused me to laugh and caused her to laugh with joy. She was filled with peace and joy in believing. And then again, you ask what you shall, that your joy shall be full. So the Holy Spirit, through His power, is able to give us peace and assurance and strengthen us in times of trial and encourage us with His Word and give us reaffirmation. And at times He may give us a confirmation again as He sees fit, not to make us believe, but to encourage when we believe. Father, we thank You that Your Word is true and Your promises are true. Help each one of us, Lord, to learn how to trust and pray and to bring about, Lord, in the natural, that which You desire by our praying and seeking You, that we have not sometimes because we do not ask. And Your intentions at times is to give, and to give abundantly. And as Your Word says, You are able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit who lives and works in us. Help us to understand this, that we can grow in faith and grow in grace and grow in knowledge and our duty to the Lord, and that we can move things by moving God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.